Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, unfortunately for the gold bugs, there's a lot for us to talk about in terms of precious metals. But you know what? It's a bit of a confusing day trying to balance out different market moves and draw some correlations between them. So we do have two news events that I think are driving markets today. We have more vaccine news out of AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford. Their headline results for their vaccine are less than what we saw the last couple weeks, but if you actually dive into them, the results actually look, again, very promising. We also had some flash PMI data that impressed the markets, is much better than the markets expected, a lot better than a lot of the pundits expected. This is also driving some of the market moves. But first and foremost, let's talk a little bit about this vaccine news. You and I were talking off mic, and when reading into the report, this vaccine news is also looking like it's coming in at about 90% effectiveness. Take us through some of the inner workings of this vaccine news that are positive for, I guess, markets and for overall investor confidence, first and foremost here, Ed.
Great. Happy to do so. And I think we had a third consecutive Monday we're getting great vaccine news, and I think initially the markets were a little mixed on AstraZeneca's announcement. I think that the headlines first initially read that their vaccine had an average efficacy of 70%, but when you drill it down, they had two main groups, and when giving the vaccine, one group had half a dose for the first shot and then a full dose for the second. That one had over 90% effectiveness. So that's very promising. It's just, as you highlighted, it kind of puts it in line with Pfizer and Moderna. And I think that what we're seeing is it just seems the optimism here that a vaccine is going to be pretty much helping, the whole world have this virus be, out of the picture by some point next year. I think that's going to be the base case for many people. The WHO head, Tedros, typically when you have the heads of these health organizations, they try to exercise cautiousness. And, today he said that the vaccine news means that the light at the end of the tunnel is growing brighter. There's so much optimism here. And I think that you're going to probably continue to see that, all these incremental vaccine news are just going to keep on boosting risk appetite. The move higher is going to be limited. And I think that given the steady flow of positive news, I think it's likely to drive the rotation trade. I think the stay-at-home names are largely going to underperform the broader market based off of these vaccine announcements. And this is going to be good news for the banking stocks, the oil stocks. I think that you're going to see small caps are going to have their day again. And this is a very positive news on the vaccine front. And I think, that's kind of, that was the first part of the morning. It was just all about vaccine focus. And that's kind of why we saw, the moves we did.
Hey, look, yeah, as you said, it's 3 weeks in a row now where we are getting some positive vaccine news. And it's interesting, I think, to see the U.S. indices. We're not seeing much movement, but we are seeing the NASDAQ slightly down and the Dow outperforming. So that rotation trade is still ongoing. But tying in this flash PMI data, we are seeing a fade in the safe havens. Gold down over $30, silver down right around 60 cents. I guess it makes sense if the outlook for a better economy and a vaccine on the horizon does fade some of the bullishness in the precious metals. But you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's been running higher. So how are you balancing out that move, I guess, out of precious metals and more into Bitcoin?
Well, I think that was, normally we don't see that type of reaction with the flash market PMI readings. But this was a pretty eye-catching number. The manufacturing reading came in much better than expected. I think almost a full or 2 points higher than the most aggressive analyst forecast. The services reading was also significantly higher than the consensus estimate in the prior reading. And what we really saw was that the initial reaction was that, like, this economy is, and you know, I completely understand the weakness we're seeing in large parts of the labor market, but overall, as a whole, it looks like this economy is still fairly strong, and everyone was expecting to see some, you know, weakness starting to percolate into these numbers. You know, these lockdowns have been, you know, the people's behaviors have been clearly reflected in other data, and we were expecting to see much more softness here. It's like the economy is still chugging along, and it just totally dampened the expectations of you know, any substantial stimulus agreement that we're going to see, you know, possibly before the end of the year. I think that the overall strength of these numbers, it really just caught everyone off guard. And I think that you're probably going to see that, you know, the debate for between Republicans and Democrats is going to be really difficult. I think the Republicans before that data point were pretty much saying we're stuck at 500 billion. You know, the Democrats were wanting anything north of 2 trillion. And it looks like if something is going to get passed, it's going to have to be at 500 billion now. And you might even see some resistance from Republicans now and saying that that's too high now, given the strength of the economy. So I think that's why you saw gold tailspin. And I think for the most part, 1850 was kind of the line in the sand for me. I thought that was the key level that it held up throughout a plethora of different drivers. But now it seems that gold is in a very vulnerable state here. But I think that you know, the prospects of more stimulus are still likely from the central banks. I think the fiscal side is going to be a lot harder. You know, if the economy does bounce back strongly, you know, if we're talking about the reflation trade, that'll be good for gold in the later next year. But I think it's going to be a very messy period for gold over these next few months as the Biden administration takes over. Kind of just touching upon the Bitcoin has been predominantly attracting some safe haven flows, but mostly I still think a lot of that is attributed to the institutional interest that has been driving this higher. You're seeing that the stimulus trade is also been heavily correlated with Bitcoin's recent success. So while Bitcoin, you know, it was testing that 19,000 level multiple times, it's come back quite some bit. It's around closer to 18,400, and I think that you're going to see that Bitcoin is going to have some rather wild swings, I think, in these next few weeks. Because you have to remember the institutional interest that drove this higher. Yes, it's accompanied by some growing retail interest, but these high frequency systems, they don't care which direction it goes. The move higher when we were seeing Bitcoin surge that first time back in 2017, you know, you had a lot of people that did not have the ability to short. You had it was a different scenario here. Here, you know, the majority of the people that have taken this cryptocurrency higher, they don't care what direction. They want volatility. And if 20,000 doesn't happen, you could see that. I think the momentum of this financial asset is going to you know, go in either direction. And you know, you're going to see you know, $1,000 moves in possibly like 5 minute period. So you have to be very cautious with Bitcoin at these levels. And it's going to be exciting. And I know that a lot of people have been interested in it. And the retail interest, though, is not as strong as it was that first rally towards 20,000. So we'll see how things unfold. But I think you're seeing a lot of interest because there's some outlandish calls, you know, looking for Bitcoin to double or possibly triple or even higher in the next few years.
Okay. I think that's key, though, to understand is that Bitcoin very well could just be not correlated to any of the other moves other than the people that are getting into it want some volatility. And it's another kind of speculative asset to invest in that has gained some more acceptance, I guess. The big picture, though, here, back to that whole stimulus talk, because I think that's taking it the one step further that we need to. All this data that is backward looking and all this news on vaccines has everybody then projecting, what's the Fed going to do? Are we going to get this big stimulus package from the government? And it sounds very much like now you still think there will be stimulus, but it'll be on the lower end. And that could maybe explain the fact that we're not seeing U.S. equity markets scream higher broadly. We're just seeing a rotation, but we are seeing that sell-off in the precious metals. Wrap it up with that comment again, revisiting the potential stimulus trade and where it affects markets and how.
Well, I think there's so many questions that we have for the stimulus trade, and what's going to be just as important, we have to remember, you know, what kind of derailed, you know, the stimulus trade over these last few days. And I think the first domino that happened was when Treasury Secretary Mnuchin decided to ask the Fed back for some of the unused money and noting that they should end some of those emergency lending facilities. That to me was the biggest shock to the stimulus trade, and it really kind of it showed that the Treasury Secretary went political for the most part. I think you can make a strong argument for that, and that the recovery seemed weak. Now, looking at today's data, you know, Mnuchin is a little bit justified in his request, but I think what you're seeing is there's been for months throughout the summer and up until where we are now, we were expecting more stimulus from Congress. We never got it. And I think what we're going to see is, you know, what the most important thing that could happen this week might be who does President-elect Biden select to be Mnuchin's replacement. And the top candidates, there's a former Fed chair, Janet Yellen. There's Fed's Brainard, and then also the Atlanta Fed president, Bostic, who I think is going to be a strong surprise. He was the first Fed speaker to talk after Mnuchin sent that letter to the Fed requesting for the unused money, and he was critical. He was in the polite way, saying he was surprised, and I think that will send a message if Biden selects Bostic, who would be, you know, the first African American openly gay official to take that post. It would be something that Biden, I think, could stand by, and he's extremely qualified, and it would show that you're going to have the Treasury Secretary really be working hand in sync with the Fed. And I think that alone could provide a little bit more optimism that, okay, you're going to have a more cautious stance from the Treasury also, you know, with the Fed, and that is going to likely keep stimulus going a lot longer. So I think that you're going to see a lot of people are going to be trying to make sense, because this economic data, if it does continue to impress, and I think there's good reason to expect that you're going to see large parts of weakness in these months. I know that's the holiday season, but a lot of the numbers that we're seeing with Google traffic and also with these consumer numbers, it would be surprising to see this continued strength here with no further efforts provided to the Americans. So I think you're going to see the stimulus trade is it's had a rough couple of days or last few trading sessions, but I think you're still going to see that the prospects of stimulus are still going to be there, and that's going to likely provide I think the markets with the expectations that risky assets are going to get their support And you probably see the stock market benefit a little bit better. I think there'll be a lot of skepticism right now for gold to see anything of any substantial numbers. But for now, I think that's going to be the key takeaway for the stimulus side of things.
All right, Ed, we are going to wrap it up here. But again, one other thing to consider is that this is a shortened trading week in the U.S. and the end of the month comes on Monday, which means, at least to me, that I think we are going to see some portfolio adjustments this week rather than waiting for Monday. Either way, though, the news that we seem to get at the beginning of every week does continue to point to this rotation trade and a bit more of a rosier outlook, even when we have COVID cases continuing to surge around the world, and especially in North America. All right, Ed, good chatting with you, buddy. Have a good rest of your week. We will chat again next week. Have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.